lucky to have AJ Hawk on the podcast this week. Obviously, as you know, AJ was a longtime player for the Packers. He was a star at Ohio State, linebacker before that. And he hosts the Hawkcast, which is a podcast that you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube. And he's had some really great guests like Joe Buck, Aaron Rodgers, Richard Deitch, Adam Schefter. I definitely recommend checking it out. AJ, never a doubt about that Packers game tonight, huh?
Yeah, no questions. Yeah, I think what a tale of two halves for sure. The Cowboys they looked completely out of it early on, and then as the game went going, just so many back and forth plays, and I think that what sealed it for me, that I knew I was really confident the Packers were going to win, was when I forget the DB's name. He blitzed off the edge scot-free, and he sacked Aaron when they were going to try to get in field goal range, and somehow Aaron didn't fumble. I have no idea.
Hold on. It was Jeff Heath coming up like on a safety blitz, or a defensive back blitz.
When they showed the replay and I saw that, I was like, I told my wife, I'm like, oh, no, he's going to complete one and Mason will make a game winner. I knew, I felt it hit. I don't know how in the world he did not fumble.
No. We'll get to Rodgers in a second. You mentioned Mason Crosby. He's had a really interesting journey with the Packers. In 2012, he had been with the team for like 6 or 7 years. And that year, he made under 2/3 of his field goals. And you were on the team with him throughout those tribulations. And in 2013, they brought another kicker into camp to compete with him. Crosby had a bad scrimmage in August. He's really in danger of getting cut. And really, since making the team that year, the last 4 seasons, he's been really dynamite. How happy are you for him that he was able to right his course and have a moment like he did with those two huge kicks today?
Oh, I mean, very, very happy for him. And I didn't have any question that he would make him. I think he's super confident. He has a monster leg from any distance. I don't know. He'd have been, I would feel confident indoors with Mason from, 66, 68 yards. I think he can make. But yeah, that year when they brought in another guy to compete in camp, I don't know if they just wanted to maybe send a message or let him know that everybody's job is kind of always up for grabs. But even throughout that scrimmage you talked about where he maybe missed a few kicks and everything, we still knew Mason was going to be the guy. It honestly wasn't even really close where we could ever see him going with the guy they brought in. Even though he was a good guy, we knew Mason would figure everything out. And I guess it worked out perfectly for the Packers because Mason has been absolutely lights out since then.
He hasn't missed a playoff kick since your guys' Super Bowl run. It's unbelievable how many he's made. And the last one today, it looked like it was curving left. And somehow, indoors, with no elements affecting it, it hooked back right. I have no idea the science of how that happens, but I was very happy about it.
Yeah, Mason's from Texas as well. So that, it had to be an unbelievable moment for him and his family and everybody. I'm sure he had a bunch of people in the stands. So they iced him, and he drained it right down the middle. And so then think how tough that is to come back and make another one, the most pressure-packed situation possible, and he just nails it.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned earlier the tale of two halves. Like, one point where the game really felt like it was shifting in the Cowboys' direction. So the Cowboys were marching, and Micah Hyde somehow just knew what play they were going to run and intercepted a ball that was thrown behind the line of scrimmage. And the Packers, they had the ball, and if they had scored, they were going to be up by 22 points if they made the extra point. Rodgers has Davante Adams open by a step or two on a play where, given how he's especially been playing the last 2 months, you really expect him to complete that. And instead, the pass rusher is coming. Rodgers isn't able to fully step into the ball, and it gets intercepted and returned to the 40. Cowboys score, and then they eventually tie the game. They're doing the Packers playoff misery montage on Fox, going through all the crushing losses over the years. Are you sitting there at that point being like, oh, damn it, not again? Or did you have unwavering confidence in the team the whole time, as you did when you told your wife that Rodgers was going to make a play there?
Yeah, I mean, I still had confidence. I just feel like the way Aaron is playing, he came out of the gates on fire again. And it's almost like people are waiting. It's like, well, he can't keep this pace up, can he? And yeah, he can. He's proving it every single week. So, yeah, I still felt very confident in what they could do because, I mean, when you have a guy like Aaron, who I've said many times, I think is the great, he could easily go down as the greatest of all time. I mean, that's a debate that you can never truly have an answer for, comparing guys to other past generations. But I just think the whole team has so much confidence in him, and he has confidence in himself that, yeah, I knew that he would find a way to make enough plays. And if he had that misstep and threw an interception, yeah. But going back to that play by Micah Hyde, that was very, very impressive. I love Micah. He's a guy that does everything right, studies the game. He obviously studies the game there. He ran the route for him. It was that little, like, terror screen type pass behind the line of scrimmage, and Micah just stepped in front of it, bam. And that's a play where Dak, you're not expecting the DB to step in front of it that quick to have the pick. And, I mean, to be truthful, Dak's probably lucky that Micah wasn't able to go score with that. A lot of times they'll take that one to the house, so. It really sets up a fun matchup for Atlanta and Green Bay next week in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, the over-under was set at 61, which I'm not sure I've ever seen in an NFL game before. It's going to be presumably a lot of scoring.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah, especially in the Dome down in Atlanta, it is going to be – that place is going to be on fire.
Rodgers had an okay game in the Super Bowl run there in the playoffs in early 2011. If he plays that well again, it's going to be a really exciting game.
No question. I think I don't know how the Atlanta guys were feeling. Obviously, they're excited to be in the NFC Championship game. And so I guess if Dallas would have won, then Atlanta would have had to go to Dallas, correct?
Yeah, they've got... I think you'd probably rather face Green Bay than Dallas if you're Atlanta, because you get the home game, and especially if you're it just seems like when you're playing against that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott, you know you're just in for a terrible, like, physical experience that the Packers were really lucky to withstand, especially early. There were plays where there was that random substitution penalty, which you almost never see, cost them 15 yards and took the, like, ball out of the ability to run. There were a few other plays. They on their first drive, it was 3rd and 2, and they threw, like, kind of a long pattern, and then instead of going for it, they kicked a field goal. When you're in that position on the defense and it's 3rd and 2, they've got Ezekiel Elliott, they're maybe on, like, the 30, I'm not exactly sure, you'd rather them kick than go for it on 4th down, right?
Yeah, most likely. It's anytime you can limit a team to field goals, especially when you have Aaron Rodgers instead of touchdowns, you know they're just buying time. It's like, it's a win for the defense. We all know that offenses are going to make plays, and that's something that Dom Capers tells the defense. Hey, they're going to make plays. They have some great players too, but we just need to be if we bend, let's not break. And they didn't break there. But yeah, going for it on 4th down, if you stop them as a defense, yeah, it's a huge momentum shift for you. But when you have a guy like Zeke Elliott and you have that offensive line in Dallas that is probably the best in the NFL right now, you would expect them to run there, and it's tough to stop them on 4th and short.
When the Packers were 4-6 and it seemed like things were sputtering, was there a part of your mind that wondered whether Mike McCarthy would be the coach of that team next season?
No, I know there was talk about that because no one's expecting the Packers to be 4-6. But I think he's built up enough goodwill and enough wins over his time there that I think it would be asinine to fire a guy like that. And that's the good thing about having a guy like Ted Thompson. He doesn't make irrational decisions like that just based on pressure from the outside. Nothing outside of Lambeau Field affects any decisions that Ted Thompson, the general manager, makes. He trusts his people, his scouts, and everyone that he believes in, and he doesn't let anything outside worry him. So I expected Mike McCarthy to be back regardless if they didn't go on this crazy run, and who knows where it's going to end.
It all seems inevitable in retrospect after Rodgers said the run the table comment, and we've seen they won in Philadelphia on Monday night, and really everything steamrolled from there. But Prior to that, there was really a full calendar year where he was not playing like himself. Did you know that whole time that he was going to recapture his play? And now I think he's playing the last 2 months better than he ever played before. And that's really saying something because he's won two MVPs and a Super Bowl. But did you worry at all that it wasn't going to come back to this level?
No, I never did, just because I spent 9 years there and locker a couple down from him and sat by him every day in our team meetings. And I know who he is and the confidence he has and how the tools he has and how competitive he is. So, no, I never felt like he was going to ever not come back to his elite level, even though he was still playing really well through that time. But, I mean, they've had tons of injuries, which every team has to deal with. They've had a lot of injuries, a lot of different receivers in and out of the lineup. They've made some different guys in the offensive line have stepped up and played well. So the kind of guy, what's amazing is no matter who they plug in, it seems like at receiver, Aaron seems to make these guys a star. And he does a great job of throwing guys open, I think. And that's something that he has so much trust in these young guys early on. If you earn his trust, he's going to throw the ball. He's going to put it out there. And if you go up and make plays, he will continue to throw you the ball. That's for sure.
I feel like that Morgan Burnett going down was a big variable in the Cowboys passing game opening up later in the game. Do you think that had a lot to do with it?
Definitely. Morgan and Ha Ha Quentin Dix back there in the back end, they're the steady enforce of that defense. I think they've had to rotate so many different guys at corner and nickel back throughout the year with the injuries they've had, that when you have those two guys in the back end, they can cover up for a lot of mistakes. And Morgan is one of my favorite teammates I've ever played with. He is a true pro that cares about his team. He's not selfish at all. He wants to win. And HaHa, although younger, I played with him as well. HaHa has become a great leader on that team. And when you lose one of those two, I mean, look what happened with Seattle and Earl Thomas. They've never seen how valuable that guy is until now. I think Morgan has a similar effect on the Packers.
I agree with you because when Nick Collins went down, the two big injuries the Packers had that they couldn't replace for years were Nick Collins and JerMichael Finley. I think as of last year, they finally had replaced Collins. And this year with Jared Cook, they finally replaced Finley in having an athletic pass catching threat at tight end in the offense. But I totally agree with you that Burnett is a hugely solidifying influence there. And I agree with the Earl Thomas analogy. Going back to some of the like heartbreaking playoff losses, it's somehow worse as a fan. The Seahawks won in the championship game, and then the early 2008 when the Giants came into Lambeau and beat the Packers, and it's like close and overtime and devastating. Whereas in the game in San Francisco where Colin Kaepernick ran for like 1,000 yards, for some reason, getting handily outplayed hurts less than competing and losing close at the end. Is that the same case as a player, or do you prefer, like, not that it's ever good, but do you prefer the Seattle loss to something like the emphatic 49ers one?
Man, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, a loss is a loss. They all suck, that's for sure. But that Seattle one, yeah, it's heartbreaking because you throughout that whole game, you felt like you were in control. We were doing the right thing. We took the crowd out of it. It's a tough place to play. And then so many things happened. Just Seattle made so many plays in a row, just craziness. And then the onside kick. And so leaving, after you lose those games, it's almost like you're in shock a little bit walking off the field and just can't believe what just happened. As I guess when you get kind of pounded like we did with Colin Kaepernick when he was running all over us and throwing all over our defense. I don't know, maybe you have a little bit of time throughout the game, you know, like, man, this is, you're fighting for your life to win. And instead, when compared to like a Seattle loss or the Giants, when they, like you said, in early 2008, we felt like we were in control for most of the game. And then bam, all of a sudden you lose and you're going home. That's the hardest part. Your season's over when you try not to let your mind wander to, hey, if we win this, we're going to the Super Bowl, we're going to do some great things. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're scheduling your exit meetings for the next morning with your coaches, and you just can't believe it comes to such a quick end.
The I'm knocking on wood right now, but let's say hypothetically the Packers do beat Atlanta and make it into the Super Bowl in Houston. What advice would you give players who weren't necessarily there during the team's last Super Bowl run, which is a vast majority of them at this point with turnover in the league? What would you tell them about how to handle the week and all of like the media pressure and everything of that nature?
I mean, I would tell them just to enjoy the whole process of it. Once the game starts, nothing's different. It's still a game. But everything leading up to that, yeah, is very different. I mean, you're going, you're staying in the hotel all week. You speak to the media pretty much every morning up until Thursday or Friday. And media day is crazy and such a weird atmosphere. I'd say just enjoy those parts. And the coaches will do a good job of getting you focused and making sure your schedule and your routine stays the same as far as meetings and game planning. But I would say enjoy it because it goes so fast the whole week. You don't have time, hopefully, to let the pressure mount and understand like how much is riding on that game. The Super Bowl, everybody's tuning in to watch it, whether they're a fan of your either team or not. So I would say enjoy the whole ride, because once you get to the game, it's just like football, what you did when you were in the second grade playing. So you don't you never forget how to do that.
So I wanted to switch gears and talk about your broadcasting aspirations. As we mentioned before, you host the Hawkcast, which can be found on YouTube, Stitcher, and iTunes. You've had a lot of great guests on it. Let's say somebody is listening to this podcast right now, and he or she is curious about yours. What's one that came out that you were super happy with how engaging the guest was that you think that person should go and seek out and listen to first?
Well, I would say when I had Aaron Rodgers, I had him on maybe a year ago in the off season, I think it was. And then he popped in during their bye week this year. I was talking to my buddy Brady Papinga, and Aaron was actually in town in Columbus visiting us, and he popped in a half hour through. So that last half hour with Brady Papinga is fun because it's me and Aaron both talking to one of our old teammates who's a funny guy that's very energetic. But also, I really enjoyed – I talked to John Daly early on. I mean, it was back in, man, maybe 2 years ago, one of my first five episodes. He was great, just very – so honest and down to earth. So – it's tough. It depends on what you want. That's my thing, is I'm kind of all over the place. So one week I may have like a Joe Buck or a player or a former player. And then the next week I like to talk to I talked to Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL who shot Osama bin Laden. That was a really, really interesting one for me as well. I'm lining him up again to have him come back on now that his life has really changed over the last year or two. So yeah, you never really know. I reach out to all different kinds of people. What's that?
And you had Goldberg.
Yeah, Bill Goldberg. You're right. I loved Goldberg. I wasn't a huge wrestling fan, but I loved Goldberg spearing people. So I reached out, and he was great. What a cool guy. He was hanging out in his brother's restaurant drinking Budweiser's during the talk.
And he's had a renaissance in wrestling. He's involved in it right now. I don't know if you've like seen his comeback, yeah, but it's been pretty interesting.
Yeah, when I talked to him, he was out completely, but he left it. He said he was happy where he was, and he didn't want to continue really wrestling, but he left it out there because he has a young son. I think he was about 10 years old probably now. And he said, the only thing I just really wish, he said, my son wasn't around when I was wrestling. I wish my son could see that and see what I did, not have to maybe just look up a couple clips on me. He said, I wish he could see what his dad's doing there just because it's fun. And bam, Goldberg's back. Yeah. Is he still doing more events now?
Yeah, so he squashed Brock Lesnar in like under 2 minutes. It was like spear, spear, jackhammer. And within the parlance of the professional wrestling genre, like obviously it's all scripted and he didn't really beat Brock Lesnar in a real fight. But like to beat him like that is a big deal within the confines of the storyline. And they have unfinished business because Goldberg defeated him at WrestleMania right before they were both done in WWE their first time around. He beat him now, and they're both going to be competing in the Royal Rumble at the end of this month.
Oh man, Goldberg's pumped. He's like 50 years old now. He looks great. He seems to be enjoying it. He talked to me about possibly taking like an MMA type fight or a kickboxing fight or something. He's into all kind of stuff. He's a very funny and interesting, well spoken guy that I really enjoyed talking to.
When you had Richard Deitch, who's an SI Media reporter, on your podcast, I think it was something about a year ago, and I'm paraphrasing from memory, but correct me if I'm wrong. You said you basically, in your post-playing career, would like to catch on in football broadcasting in almost any capacity. What do you think your ideal job would be like next season? And what would your ideal job be once you've gotten some chops and you're 5 or 10 years into a broadcasting career?
Well, my ultimate goal, I've always said, is to call games up in the booth, to be the color analyst. And I've gotten to do, Fox brought me out and I did the Stanford Oregon State game earlier this year, and I think it was late October maybe. So I got to watch Christian McCaffrey. That was my first. It was, you know, national TV on Fox Sports One. Mm-hmm. I was three man booth with Justin Kutcher and Petros Papadakis, and it was really, really fun. I enjoyed the process of meeting the coaches, talking to them throughout the week, and preparing. But I'd love to call games. I mean, even next year, it'd be one of my would definitely be one of my goals, I guess, to catch on and get in a booth. Get a good slate of games, whether that be college or NFL. I'd like to eventually do both college and NFL. There's more jobs in college, definitely, because of the games. But and then I would always like to do that. Yeah, that's the thing. There's so many college schools, and college actually, it's a lot tougher than doing the NFL. So a lot of former players don't like to do college as much because it's not as easy as the NFL. Most people, especially guys that played in the league, they could call an NFL game. I'm not saying they would do a great job, but they would know most of the guys on the rosters. In college, you don't. I mean, you have to learn the two deeps and everything. You don't know a lot of these guys. You have to learn them for sure. The week of. I'm a diehard fan of that team, but I'd always like to call games. And then I'm doing work with SiriusXM right now, doing a lot of their NFL and college shows. I'd always like to sprinkle in a lot of radio as I can. I do a little bit of studio work. That's something that I enjoy, not as much as the booth. I mean, I think the end of this week coming up, I don't know when you're releasing this, I'm going to be going out to Fox and doing a couple days out there with Skip and Cowherd and all those guys as as an analyst, I guess. And I don't know, that's not really my thing to sit there and argue with guys about different things. But I do like to analyze the game and break down what's happening and what teams are doing to attack each other. But then even after that, I don't know. That's what's cool about the media now. There's so many different platforms that I'd like to branch off into a lot of different things, to where, whether it be different sports someday, I don't know. I really, there's no real telling, because a lot of the jobs in the media world that are going to be down the line in the future don't even exist yet. I mean, I was talking to Albert Breer on my podcast, and he's just saying, like, what he does now for the Monday Morning Quarterback, that job did not exist, like, when he was back as a reporter for NFL Network and in different places.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's fun that you're going to be at FS1. My boss, Jason McIntyre, he appears on Speak for Yourself. So if you're on that, that'd be fun. You got to tell Skip Bayless that Aaron Rodgers is not overrated and be emphatic about it.
I'm excited about that tonight. What do you think? I wonder what Skip's argument is going to be now. I know he's definitely been against Aaron for a while, or say he's overrated. So I wonder what, I would assume he's going to stick with his, he doesn't seem to back off any points. So I'm guessing he's going to stick with that and just make some kind of excuse or say that Mason Crosby is the hero, which he is, but Aaron put him in place. Really, already?
He did that. He said that the Cowboys were fools to only rush three so that he could have the easy pitch and catch with Jared Cook. And he said that Dak Prescott outplayed Aaron Rodgers today.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Dak had a great game. I don't know how you can say anybody outplayed Aaron today. But I do agree with Skip's point on only rushing three. It's like all those Hail Marys that Aaron's been throwing. When I've actually talked to Aaron about this, like the best way to defend against a Hail Mary, like, you never rush three. That gives him all the time to not only break contain, but then step up and crow hop and throw the ball 75 yards downfield and give him a chance. If you rush four or maybe five, have a guy in the middle when he breaks contain, and you could put someone in his face and don't let him step into that throw. So I definitely do agree with Skip on that.
Is there anything that we didn't discuss either about the Packers run or media that you want to get off your chest?
I don't know, man. You hit a lot of it. I don't I don't know. How do you like doing podcasts, man? Do you enjoy it?
Oh, definitely. I like doing it a lot. I was writing for a while, and it feels now like you have to be multi-platform. And unless you're going to write books that luckily become bestsellers, it's really hard to advance much more past where a lot of people have gotten just by writing now. So you have to develop other skills. And I'll give him a shout out now. I'm working with Jerry Madawan a little bit. I know that you guys have connected a little bit in the past before, and he's been really helpful for me getting better at this and helping point out some of my verbal tics and things that I should be doing better over the past 6 months. I've been very thankful for his help.
Oh yeah. That's the thing with podcasting. I think, I mean, that's all I do is listen to different podcasts when I'm wherever I'm at, in my car, when I'm in bed at night, until I fall asleep. I put my little earbuds in and listen to not a lot of sports podcasting. No, I got into podcasts through different comedians, and then I branched off into a bunch of different ones. But yeah, you can tell when somebody has started a podcast just because, say, like Podcast One came to them and said, hey, we'll pay you a little bit of money to come in here in the studio once a week and record one. You can tell when they're doing it because they think they should and it's for the money, or for whatever, and you can tell for the difference between podcasts where people truly are interested in the people they're talking to and really really into it. And that's the thing I do, at least with mine, I found that I really enjoy it. I enjoy kind of prepping for the person. I'm going to be talking to Bob Costas here in a couple of weeks, so I'm excited for that. I've been going back and forth with him to schedule a time, and it's almost like, it's almost intimidating when you talk to guys like that, because think of all the interviews that he has conducted, and he's such a true honed professional. So sometimes you just have to, I don't know. Yeah. That's what's cool. Especially a lot of the podcasts that go an hour or more, it's not like you can fake it. It's going to be honest. It's going to be real. And so nothing's really scripted. It's fun, man. It really is.
I found an interesting nugget about Bob Costas a few weeks ago. I was researching a piece on John Madden and Pat Summerall and how they were amazing on the NFL and Thanksgiving. And in Brian Burwell's biography of Madden, he talked about how Madden's like prep broadcasts, like the games that he did that like for practice but weren't on air, he was paired with like a just out of college Bob Costas on those games, and neither knew that the other person was like going to go on to the great broadcasting heights that they did, but they both came away from the experience pretty impressed with the other one.
Oh, those would be someone needs to put those out and make those free to the public so we can see them.
I agree. We should. I'll talk to my guy at CBS and see if he could somehow do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun to see, especially when they're like, it's great seeing those guys that are legends when they were younger and how they were doing it. I mean, I'm sure you know, if you go back and I almost hesitated to tell you to listen to the John Daly podcast because it was so early on in mine. Not like I've gotten a whole lot better at it, but it was like maybe my third one I recorded or something. So you really have to learn from each episode. If you don't go back and listen and figure out, like you said, the verbal cues or the tics or things that you say, your filler words or just stuff that makes you cringe when you listen to yourself continue to repeat things. It's tough to have people go listen to some of your old stuff, but it gets good though, because you got to find a way to grow from some of that criticism.
Definitely, I agree. Thank you so much for making the time to come on. I know you have a very busy schedule, and we really appreciate your time, and we're going to be publishing it soon. Thank you again.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Have a good rest of the evening, AJ. Looking forward to Packers-Falcons next weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.